Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We got super producer Rob G, who has been grinning from ear to ear with his the moves that his Lakers have made, and Ralph Irvin, who might be joining him in grinning from ear to ear on the updates. All right, Rob, let's start there.
Only because Ralph is as young as the rest of the Lakers. That's why he's grinning.
You ain't lying. I mean, them boys are old. All right? Them boys are old. Now, we all been wondering, how in the world are the Lakers going to surround their big three that doesn't fit together as it is, but how are they going to put these guys around them? So they go out. Last night, they make a splash. They sign Trevor Ariza, 36 years old, Wayne Ellington, 33, Kent Bazemore, 32, and Dwight Howard, 35.
Then soon to be 36.
Right, 36 in December, early December. Then they follow that up with Carmelo Anthony, who's 37. And then they go with the young boys. Kendrick Nunn, 26. Malik Monk, 23. And, you know, they sign their own. Of course, THT is back. Talen Horton Tucker, he's 20. So that is the Lakers squad around LeBron, who himself will be 37 in December. Anthony Davis, who is not old, but dude gets beat up, that's for sure, 28 years old. And then, of course, Russell Westbrook, who's 32. Rob, what do you think? You know, they went out, and this is what they're doing. They may still do a few more things. We'll see. But, you know, most of the names are gone. And so this is their squad, it looks like. What do you think?
Not feeling it at all. Couple things first. The Lakers, though, Chris, are in a win-win situation. You know that, right? Because even if they don't qualify for the NBA playoffs this season, they'll still qualify for Medicare. No? Alex, no? My God.
I was waiting.
Here's the sad thing. Here's the sad thing. Rob spent all day thinking that one up. Did you hear the vigor, the excitement with which he
did? See, the best part, I got a text right before he says, like, here we go, Kawhi.
Be quiet, Alex.
They're in a no-win situation. Listen to this.
All right, here's another.
Win-win situation.
All right, here we go. Hey, Chris, with the addition of Melo.
I see him. He's reading. He's reading. All right, y'all think I'm playing. All right, cool. Give him some music.
No, wait. No music. No music. All right, so. No music, Alex. No music.
No music? All
right. No music. So with the addition of Melo, Chris, I don't know if you know, to the Lakers, they've changed their pregame meal for next season. That's right. You know, it now consists of sodium-free bacon, decaf coffee, and a chest x-ray. All right. That's better. And also, the Lakers are officially, they have a new sponsor. Do you know that? You know, like, they wear the sponsors on their jerseys. So now they're the LAAARP Lakers. So they're in there. And also, I heard, you know, these TV networks are looking for new shows. So now, you know, the Lakers getting together with some older guys. They now have, they're casting for a new sitcom for CBS called The Purple and Golden Guys. You know, that's the new TV show. No?
I feel like Ed McMahon up here.
I know, right?
Hey,
know
all right. I hate to tell you this, Rob. I hate to tell you this.
What?
But my boy, he played basketball with me at Oberlin College. My roommate, when we were on the road, he was an honors economics major. Uh-huh. So my point is, he's not a comedian.
Right.
But I think he sent me a text that was funnier than anything you just said. He said, the Lakers are like the cast of the movie Uncle Drew.
Yes. Well, which is true.
I didn't see that. Did you see that?
Nah, I knew that was a bomb.
I wanted to, but I never just, I felt like, because here's the thing. When I saw the little, you know, the little 5 to 10 minute blurbs on the internet when they first came out, right? And Uncle Drew was unleashed on the world. It was funny. It was great. And so I thought, wow, the movie will be good, but I just never had the desire to go see it. So right. I haven't
but
seen
it's,
it.
It's but hard it for those movies. Whenever you take something that was 30 seconds or a minute, you know, and try to turn it or a skit, 3-minute skit, and you try to turn it into a full-length motion picture, it usually bombs because it's not sustainable. You know what I mean? Like, it's a funny skit, but it ain't funny enough to make a whole movie off of. But anyway, I'm just saying, I'm out on the Lakers. And yes, they got a cast of people, guys who are very talented and have done a lot in their careers. But just too many things. There's too many pieces, parts, too many old guys to stay healthy, too many things that need to work together in order to make a run. And even if everything works together, I still don't believe they're better than Brooklyn with those three guys healthy. And ultimately, it's about winning a championship, right? So I don't believe that they're better than the Brooklyn Nets, even with what they put together. I don't believe they'll be at the finish line, Chris, healthy enough, have everything working the way that they want it. That's why I was out on the Lakers. You know I picked the Suns in the first round against the Lakers because I said too many things have to go right, including guys staying healthy. That's why I didn't pick the Lakers, and I'm not picking them here. I don't think that this is a team that can win a championship.
They're a bit reminiscent, Rob, a bit, of the 2004 Lakers, 2003-2004 Lakers. You remember when Karl Malone, an old Karl Malone, and an aging Gary Payton went to the Lakers to join Shaq and Kobe. Remember that?
They had potentially four Hall of Famers on the same squad.
Right.
And who was the fifth starter? Do you remember? Devin George.
Was it Devin George? Okay.
Yeah. Right, because he was like the fifth Beatle. You know what I mean? They were trying to figure out who the other guy was.
Yep. And you know, they had their, to your point, they had their struggles in the regular season. You know, but I mean, they still obviously won games, but Gary Payton was never happy in the triangle offense, which really wasn't built for a great point guard. At least it's never been run that way. And so he didn't really like it and fit in. And, you know, he was an all-star or had put up all-star numbers the year before. And then that's when his numbers began to go down and his career was never the same. Karl Malone, to your point, Rob, was injured to some degree in the playoffs. And, you know, guys who were used to being stars and the focal point of their team had to adjust. And it was a tough adjustment. They ended up finding their stride in the Western Conference playoffs and beat San Antonio, but then lost to the Detroit Pistons in the finals. And so ultimately, they didn't get it done. This is somewhat reminiscent of that squad. And I'm with you in that so much has to go right. You still don't know how it's going to fit. You know, what's the starting five going to be? I think Melo's coming off the bench, clearly. They did get some shooting. It's not great shooting. I know people look at, so-and-so. Malik Monk shot 40% from three last year. But he's a 34% career three-point shooter. He shot like 20-something percent the year before. So he has he improved that much, you know, going forward?
Or was he
we'll
just
see.
Had a – it was an anomaly. You know what I mean, Chris?
Right. Because they had several 40% three-point shooters last year on the Lakers team, but they just weren't that great of a shooting team. But, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo. I mean, Wayne Ellington's a pretty good shooter. Kendrick Nunn, I like that pickup. That's one of the younger guys, 26 years old. He played well in Miami, 38% from three. So I think, considering all things considered, Rob, they filled out the roster pretty well, you know, considering they really didn't have any money. Here's what I say. I agree with you. I think Brooklyn's still the favorite to win it all.
Right, if they're healthy, if all three of them are healthy.
If everybody stays, like if all the teams stay healthy, I think you got Brooklyn as the favorite overall. Here's what I say about the West. If I had to pick the Lakers or the field, I would go with the field. But if I have to name one team that should be the favorite, I think just based on sheer talent, I would go with the Lakers. Just is the favorite in the West, not in the league. But They got a lot of talent. Again, I don't know how they're gonna put it together. It's really gonna be interesting. But there is a whole bunch of talent there. Defensively, they've lost something, right? Now you got Bazemore, maybe they can get some of these dudes who aren't typically defenders to dig in. Ariza is a defender. But they're gonna give up something there. For the most part, they don't have guys that want to run with Westbrook when he's playing fast. So they've got a lot of adjustments and just things to work out, as you said. But on talent alone, this helps them. There really is no world beater in the West. I said it, yes, I've been saying it. I think the Clippers are going to be down because Kawhi's not there. I think that Phoenix and Golden State and Denver and Utah are going to be good. Dallas, you can throw in there. They're going to be good. But are they scaring you? Do they have more talent than the Lakers? No. So if LeBron can bring this thing together, then I think they'd be the favorite in the West.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think one of those other teams will
Do you have a favorite, though?
Yeah, I got the Clippers. I think Kawhi
Without Kawhi?
He's out the whole year? I thought he's coming back.
I think he's going. It's 9 to 12 months. So 12 months would be the year. His injury is 9 to 12 months. I just think you're right. I mean, if he's coming back, we'll see. I still wouldn't favorite him with him coming back in May, April, or something.
I still like them if he comes back. I just got to wait to see, what else is happening to that point and the rest of their team. But I'm just saying, you can look at – I'm not a big – I don't think the Suns are making some second run to the NBA Finals. I just think the road is there.
That's my point, right? There's no juggernaut.
But the biggest problem is they're just older, and the chances of them being healthy at the end is the problem. Last year, after they won the championship in 2020, everybody said they won the post the off season and that they got better, and it didn't pan out. I don't see this group and the ages of these guys being able to come together. I don't.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steph Curry. Golden State just signed him to a four-year, $215 million contract extension, which will be on top of the money that he's making next year, which is $46 million. So all told, over the next 5 years, Steph Curry has guaranteed money of $261 million. Big time bucks. And you have a take on this that I find incredible.
It's not that incredible.
I find baffling.
It depends on how you want to do business. And Chris, I'm not hating on him that he doesn't deserve to get paid. They're paying anybody and everybody in the NBA. So that's not even the issue. Steph, if you want to give the money to Steph Curry, fine. But the bottom line is that their window is open and closed. They've probably done all the winning. They got them a new stadium, a new arena and all that, and they've made a lot of money. But this is just like a reward or a retirement fund or a pension or whatever you want to call it. This is not about them winning anymore. And it's hard for people to part with players that they like and all that. And I get it. It was like when the Cardinals Albert Pujols, right? They wouldn't pay him.
They had won
a couple championships. They'd already, what'd you say?
Because he fell off. Smart.
Well,
move.
But that was the point, is that they had won, Chris. They had a nice run. They didn't want to do it because they know what happens when you pay older players and players. You see what happened. They don't know what – Steph played great last year. They didn't even make the playoffs. And I'm not blaming Steph for not making the playoffs because Clay was hurt and, you know, some things didn't work out and they had younger players. But to do this and then not to go give them some other players, some reinforcement, some veterans to play alongside makes no sense. Like, they're not in the mix to win a championship. Will they compete? Sure. If Klay Thompson is good, Chris, or healthy, sure. They'll make noise. They'll be involved. But nobody's picking them to win the title. And I don't expect them to win the title over the next 5 years with Steph Curry, no matter how much money they pay him. It's a reward. It's a bonus. You like him. You love that he's a part of your organization. You can't sell any more tickets. You know, it's just like we want to reward the guy. And if that's the reason, fine. But as far as a business situation and whether or not this is good money or smart money, it's not.
How is it not? You act like he's coming off a 16-point season.
No,
he's coming off. So when you say it's a reward, that's like Kobe got the reward.
Kobe did get a reward, and it was a mistake by the Lakers.
He wasn't playing arguably the best basketball of his career.
But they gave it to him. But they gave Kobe the money because, Chris, he had already won for them.
Right.
And it was. This is what I'm saying.
Like, but he wasn't playing at the level that Steph is right now.
No,
Steph Curry had arguably his best year last year.
And they didn't make the playoffs. And that's my point.
But now they're getting Klay Thompson back. And they've
drafted him. You don't know what condition he's going to be in.
Your logic is like, well, if you're not going to win the championship, don't pay anybody.
No, don't pay any. Don't break
Let
the bank.
Let him go? Are you serious?
Don't break the bank on that. No, I'm telling you,
Rob,
like, the smarter teams.
Business.
The smarter teams don't do it.
You got 30 teams in the league. Everybody can't win the championship.
No, but they've already won with that.
Their window is open?
Their window's closed.
We don't know exactly what Clay's coming back. We didn't know what Kevin Durant was going to look like. We don't know what Kawhi Leonard's going to look like when
he gets back. Chris, they're going to win a championship? You got them winning a championship the next 5 years?
I think they got a shot, yes.
No, okay. All right.
I definitely think they got a shot.
I don't think they're winning a championship. And even
if they don't win a championship, that doesn't mean you don't pay somebody. Was Houston wrong to pay James Harden all those years?
Yes.
Because he didn't bring him a champ. No, everybody doesn't win, Rob.
When they offered James Harden that. No, I get it. I know. I understand the business aspect, but I'm telling you, whether you sign Steph or not doesn't mean you're going to have an empty arena. It doesn't mean.
Actually, it might.
No, it does not.
Why not?
No, it does not.
Golden State, what they look like before they got Steph Curry?
Before they had Steph Curry, they used to sell out all the time. That was the amazing thing, is that they had a great following of fans, Chris. And
well, now they're in San Francisco.
Go look at it. They didn't have an empty building.
They're in a whole different venue.
They didn't have an empty building. You think people...
They might have an empty building if they lose Steph.
No, I don't think so.
It's a whole different fan. Talk to anybody
the
there.
Knicks the Knicks haven't won a championship since 1973. They don't even have an empty seat.
So then nobody should spend money. The Knicks should never sign anybody.
No.
Because they haven't won a title in almost 50 years.
Right,
in
and they still sell out.
In fact, why don't they get rid of the franchise?
All I'm telling you is...
Why don't the Portland Trailblazers just stop cutting the checks for Damian Lillard?
I would do it.
It's ridiculous.
No, it ain't.
I mean, we should have one team in the league that's going to win the championship.
Their window is closed with Steph.
There is no way you don't pay Steph Curry.
If
he was coming off a bad season, that might make sense.
He's coming off one
of the best seasons of his career.
They didn't make the playoffs. So is he going to play? Is he going to play better as we go forward? Is he going to play better than he played?
No, but they're going to get better players around him. Don't you understand that?
No, I don't understand that because they didn't do it. That's my issue.
They just drafted the best kid in the class of 2021. Jonathan Kuminga. They just drafted another kid that can play. James Wiseman was one of the top players in the country. He'll be a year older. I mean, come on, man. They're building a team. What are you talking about?
No, but Chris, he's too old to build a team around.
If he's averaged 32 points a game last year. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about if you're going to be all in on this and you're going to pay Steph, you got to go get him players for now.
You can't build
and hope and wish and dream that these draft players are good. They weren't good enough to even make the playoffs.
You know what they're called?
You know what?
Yes, 25 teams. They're bringing back a future Hall of Famer in Klay Thompson.
We don't even know if he can walk.
We didn't know what Kevin Durant was going to be either.
Come on.
You were willing to bet on Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant didn't have back-to-back injuries. He had back-to-back.
He had an Achilles tear, which very few people had come back from to their previous level.
Chris, Klay had back-to-back injuries is what I'm trying to tell you.
You're not willing to give up on Kawhi Leonard?
Klay's coming off a torn ACL
and a torn Achilles. He just got bumped.
Both.
What in the world was that? Stop it.
I would not do it.
It is utterly ridiculous.
If you're
going to
pay Steph Curry,
what should they do? Rebuild?
You got to put a team around him. Yes.
Trade Klay?
Yes.
Come on, man. This is ridiculous.
No, it ain't. That their windows closed. They've already won their championships.
Rob.
You know when they stopped winning championships? When Kevin Durant left. They're not winning another title. It's a joke in Golden State. They need to
this
stop.
This take is a joke. The Utah Jazz has never,
old time's sake. Yeah, remember when we were champions? Remember when we won? Yeah, remember when everybody was hurt when we won that championship in 2015? Hey, you remember the time we choked down a 3-1 lead, the first team in NBA history? You remember that? Yeah, let's go back to those days. Oh, you remember when Kevin Durant came and took Steph's lunch money and his team and won 2 NBA titles and won both MVPs? Remember those years? Let's turn back the clock to that. We'll give Steph a boatload of money.
Yeah,
we'll give him unproven players
we'd
to play with.
We'd hate to go back to making the finals Klay, five straight years. All right, can I talk now?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Talk.
They made the finals five straight years. First team since Bill Russell to do that. Let's go back to that. Oh, that's stupid to go back to that. This is the Utah Jazz have never in their history won a championship. And yet they pay players. They just paid Mike Conley $70 million. Why? How stupid were they? They're not going to win anything. The Phoenix Suns just gave Chris Paul a guaranteed $80 to $90 million. How stupid were they? They're not going to win anything. It's called a league, Rob. Even if you don't win a championship, you got to play players. And Steph Curry is playing the best basketball of his career. You can say all your little jokes that you've been saying for the last 7 years. We've heard them all 78 times before. But you got to pay the dude.
For 7 years.
You got to pay the dude. And they're right to do it. And the young kids are assets. If Bradley Beal becomes available, they got young players they can give up to get him. If Damian Lillard or Ben Simmons or somebody is available, they got assets to try to go get him. So this is a smart – the question I had was, should Steph have done it? Should Steph – have given them a year, played out this season, see how good they are, and then said, maybe I'll move on. Ultimately, I like what he did because I do think they can still be good. They can be as good as Denver, as good as Phoenix, as good as Dallas and Utah and these other contenders in the West. We'll see if they can rise above, but you got to have your best player to rise above. Smart move by the Golden State Warriors. And we'll see what they do. They should build around him. We'll see how Klay comes back. I like their young talent. Maybe they'll turn it into a veteran star. But this was a smart move by the Golden State Warriors.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Our next guest is a three-time NBA champion, a legendary Los Angeles Laker, former NBA Coach of the Year as well, and friend of the iCouple Show, Byron Scott. What's up, brother?
Byron.
Yeah, what's up, Chris? RP, what's going on?
Hey, Byron, I just got one question. Was your cell down today? Because the Lakers didn't call you to join on to the team. You know, they're picking up anybody. What happened to your call?
It does seem like they called everybody else in the world. But,
right?
Man.
So, Byron. I guess they didn't want a 60-year-old trying to be shooting jump shots in the corner anymore. I guess that's.
Hey, they came close. They came close. Let's start. We get to the age. Let's start with just the big three now. LeBron, Westbrook, AD. I mean, you were on the Showtime Lakers where Magic, Worthy, and Kareem all fit together perfectly. Westbrook's great. All three of them are great individually. I don't think it fits. I mean, I'll give them a chance because they got so much talent. But what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, my first thought, you know, Chris, when the trade was made, I was like, whoa. And I was like, man, three dynamic players, no doubt about it. And then my second thought was, okay, how's this going to work?
Right.
You know, I mean, you're talking about three individuals that are, you know, like you said, individually, they're fantastic. When you look at that Laker team back in the day with Magic, Kareem, Worthy, you got three Hall of Famers, and then myself, Coop, AC, Kirk, all those guys. You know, we all understood our roles, and everybody on that team, especially those three, you know, they had to give a little bit more of themselves. And what I mean by that is they had to give less. You know, I mean, Magic could average 25, 30 points a game. You know, same with James, same with Kareem. Maybe not in the last 2 years with Cap, because at that time he was getting older and we was just like, look, Cap, you're just going to be along for the ride. We're going to get this done. You know, and we just need you at half court every now and then, you know, to come down here so we can throw it into you, because nobody can still stop that hook shot, you know.
Right.
But I think those three guys in particular understood that they, you know, yeah, they could average, you know, more points and more rebounds and more assists, but was that, you know, for the best for the team? And it wasn't. You know, I thought when Magic got more aggressive because Pat Riley told him to, you know, it was better for us because him being more aggressive made us that much better and harder to guard. These three guys, and I think particularly Russell, and I love Russell. I mean, I'm one of Russell's biggest fans. I got so much love for the way that guy plays the game because of his passion for the game.
He plays hard every night, man. He doesn't cheat anybody.
Every night. You know, if you pay to see him play, you're going to get your money's worth. And that's the great thing about Russ. And I think he's the one in this group that's going to have to give a little bit more. And when I mean more, I mean really less of himself. You know, he's going to have to give up maybe the triple doubles. He's going to have to give up, you know, being able to be the dominant player on the ball at times. And I think at this point in his career, I truly feel that he is willing to do that. Because I think the biggest thing has always been with Russ, has always been winning. And I think right now he wants to win a championship. And why not win it in your hometown just like I did? I love being here in L.A. I would be like, look, man, I'll get whatever y'all want me to give. Whatever you want me to do, I'm good, you know, as long as I can stay here. You know, so I think he's at that point where he knows, listen, I'm going to have to, you know, give up a few shots more a game and not dominate the ball as much in order for us to be successful. And I think if he comes with that attitude, you know, they're going to be no matter what, they're still the best team in the West, no matter what. But if he converts to saying, you know what, I don't need to do this like I've been doing the last 4 or 5 years. I can do less and we can be more successful. And he buys into that. I think this team is going to be awesome.
Only problem I have, and this is my concern, is a lot of older guys. So a lot of things have to work. A lot of guys have to be able to stay healthy. You got Carmelo Anthony, who's 37. I mean, you start to look around, and those are old for NBA players. I know LeBron, even LeBron, as good as he is and physically fit, he's been hurt 2 of the 3 years in L.A. The only year he hasn't been hurt was when they had the 4 months off for COVID. So that to me is a concern. If you're the Lakers, is that a concern about the age of the team?
Well, I tell you, RP, I was looking at everybody that they were picking up in the free agent market, and that's the first thing that came to my mind was, ooh, they got, you know, they right. going to be one of the oldest. You know, I mean, seriously, that's exactly what hit me. I was like, ooh, these, you know, Carmelo, you know, Howard. I was like, ooh, they got some older dudes coming in here, you know. So I think it is a concern for them. Obviously, Frank is going to have to manage those guys' time, not only you know, on the playing court, but practice and things of that nature, because, you know, it's a long season. 82 games is a long season, and what you want with that group, obviously they got a world of experience, you want to get them to the playoffs relatively healthy. And if you can get them to the playoffs relatively healthy, then they got a great chance to win it all.
I've said that I would put LeBron on the point. Westbrook obviously can push it in transition and when LeBron's on the bench. But I like him as the primary decision maker in the half court. I think he should kind of take on the thoughts of the mindset of Magic Johnson. And let me make sure Russ and AD eat and everybody else. Because LeBron's going to get his 20 points just by being out there. So what are your thoughts on that? He's talked about playing power forward, but I kind of like him at the point.
Well, Chris, you know he can play pretty much any position he wants on the basketball court. I mean, that guy is, you know, he's so dynamic with the ball, without the ball. I mean, he makes everybody else on that court better. And that was kind of the point earlier about Russ being off the ball at times and let LeBron create for other guys. And I like that because of the fact that when LeBron does create and he does kick it to Russ, you know, he's there with a triple threat position. He doesn't, and now you got to come out at him, and he's got his live dribble where instead of him having to create, you know, now he can really look to attack or just, you know, or look to shoot the ball. So I love LeBron at point. I think his whole mentality is a point guard mentality anyway, the way he plays. So, you know, he's the most unselfish player, you know, in the team and probably in this league, one of the most, you know, selfish players in this league. So I love him at that point guard position because, again, he can switch, you know, 1-4 and sometimes 1-5. So, I mean, you know, him being the facilitator is always, to me, one of the best decisions they can make. He can get you a better shot than, you know, for most of these guys than they can get by themselves.
Byron, let me ask you about two young players. At one point, the Lakers were so high on Kyle Kuzma the first time, they wouldn't even trade him for Anthony Davis. He couldn't be involved in that trade, if you remember that. And the other one, I want you to tell me about him and just what happened to him. And the other one is Lonzo Ball, who signed with the Bulls, who's now on his third team in four NBA seasons. And at one time, you know, Magic was talking about hanging his jersey up in the rafters, you know, at the Staples Center. Just tell me about those two players and their direction and, you know, why they're not with the Lakers and were the Lakers just off or just changed because of LeBron being here?
Well, I'll start with Alonzo Ball. First of all, I think he's a terrific basketball player. I don't think he's a franchise-type player, but I think he's a great fit pretty much with every team because he is a pass-first type guy. He's long. He's athletic. You know, he can defend better than most people can give credit for. Obviously, he's going to do a better job, you know, shooting free throws and increasing his three-point percentage. But I like the way he plays, to be honest with you. I think when he first got here, it was way too much pressure and way too much expectations put on him from the get-go. And I don't think he could live up to it, to be quite honestly. You know, with his dad putting all the pressure on him, saying that he's better than Steph. You know, even with my boy Magic saying, you know, he's going to come in here, you know, he's going to be the face of the franchise. Right. I was like, no, you can't. I just didn't see that. You know, the times that I watched him play at UCLA, I didn't see that. I saw a guy who I feel can play in this league 10, 12, 13 years and be effective and be very successful. But I didn't see a five-time All-Star or, you know, or a face of a franchise-type player. You know, so I think that, to me, was kind of the reason that they kind of traded him. He didn't live up to the expectations, but I thought the expectations at the beginning were way too high. Kuzman, you know, I think he showed, you know, flashes of you know, just great play, you know, his rookie year, his second year. But when they started talking about trading for Anthony Davis, and he was the one they wouldn't trade, I was like, no, he should be the one in the trade instead of Brandon, you know, Ingram. I thought Brandon Ingram, and he's turned out to be a pretty damn good basketball player. I thought he had a better upside because he could do more things, you know. But you know, Kuzman had played better, but it, you know, one of the reasons is because he was more seasoned. You know, he spent 4 years in college. Brandon Ingram was played 1 year at Duke. You know, so it was going to take him a little bit longer. And I think the fact that, you know, he just never, to me, this is Kuzma, this is my opinion, he just never continued to get better each year. You know, he seemed to taper off going into the second year, and then last year he didn't get any better as well. And I thought that was probably one of the main reasons that they decided to make that move this year.
Byron, you coached in New Orleans, of course. Do you think they made a mistake by letting Lonzo go? Because I thought when they got Zion, I thought Lonzo would be like the perfect point guard for him. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, Lonzo, if he could have stayed in New Orleans, I think they would have been a much, much better basketball team. I thought they had the makings of a team on the rise. I thought they had a chance this year, coming into this year with, you know, Zion and Lonzo being together a little bit more, of being and having that pick and roll, you know, combination with those two guys. Yeah, a lot of people would switch because they're almost the same size. Zion gets you down in that post with that big body, he's going to punish you. You know, so I thought that they might have jumped the gun a little bit too quick because I thought he did show flashes last year of being the type of player that we thought he could be as far as facilitating, running the offense. You know, he's very unselfish. I mean, anybody would love to play with a guy like him because if you get out on the break, he's going to look up and he's going to find you. You know, on the offensive end, he's going to find you. He's not looking to shoot the ball first. So most guys want to play with a guy like Lonzo Ball. So I think, you know, I think in Chicago he's going to flourish. I think it's time for him to really start stepping up his game, and I think he's going to play well. And, again, like I said, I think he's underrated on that defensive end as well.
All right, that's our man Byron Scott. Byron, keep your phone on tonight because the Lakers got a few spots left. They're looking for more shooting. So,
hey Byron, and the Lakers have a new sponsor. It's LAAARP now, Lakers.
All right, man, we appreciate you.
Huh? Hey, man, if they let me play on one end of the court, which is the offensive end, I could probably give it a go.
Do that. That's right. Just cherry pick and stay there the whole time.
Exactly.
All right, man. We appreciate it, Byron. Thank you.
Thanks.
Man, appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.